And welcome to the Trouble with the Snip podcast. I am Tyler Hayward. With me, as always, is Jeremy File. We're hitting you up a little bit earlier than normal for our preview show. Just busy schedules, and I got a ton going on tomorrow. But anyways, you can find us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or pretty much anywhere else you get your podcasts. Just look for Trouble with the Snap. Find us on Facebook at Trouble with the Snap Podcast. Like, share, comment. Interact with us a little bit. Give us some likes. Give us obviously the listens. And if you want to comment, you want us to talk about something, we'll do it. You want to come on, we'll consider it, and we'll talk about it with you. But Jeremy is with us. We're gonna hit you up with our preview. Michigan State plays Rutgers this weekend, and we're finally to the point of the season where teams start playing. I mean, we start to know a little bit more about these teams because we watch them against Michigan, and now they're playing Michigan State. Or, in Michigan's case, we watch them against Michigan State, and they're going to the Boneyard for a night game at Nebraska. And that's where we're going to lead off. And, Jeremy, your initial thoughts.
I think it's going to be a very big game. I mean, I think Nebraska, watching them last week, they found their way on the offensive line. They were able to run the football effectively multiple ways. Adrian Martinez looked as confident as ever in the pocket. I think that was something that I noticed, where they were, keeping him upright, and he was able to make some long throws that looked like a pocket passer, an NFL-type passer. Michigan's coaches and players all week have talked about how this is the best quarterback they're going to face so far this year. And, I think that they had also mentioned this is a little bit of Noah Vedral and more, which I think is a really good comment. I think Noah Vedral still has those, potential running plays and can pass. Nothing like Adrian Martinez, of course, but this is a very big game for Michigan and a huge challenge.
Yeah, he's almost impossible to stop. I mean, you look at Michigan State. All right, Michigan State is sixth in the nation in total sacks. And, they roughed up Martinez a little bit, got him early, just smacked him in the jaw at one point. But he evaded so much inside the pocket, kept his eyes downfield, and even though he was looking to pass, he was still able to take off on, a monster run late in the game. Like, he's got this ability, and I said something a couple weeks ago, and I wasn't freaking thinking or anything like that. Everything that Adrian Martinez can do when he is on his game, I use the word best, that's not the case. When he is on his game, he is the most dangerous quarterback in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I just don't think there's another runner like him. Like, I think that's what makes him the most dangerous. Like,
right.
I think Michigan State did a great job and they got after him. And I think Michigan is I think they provide more pressure, actually, than Michigan State does. I mean, they had six sacks last week against Wisconsin. And, I think there's going to have to be someone that spies them, obviously. I think their linebacker speed Michigan has is an advantage. I think they do have guys that can run. And I think that with Ojabo and Aiden Hutchinson, the job they have done on the edge, what they're going to have to do is they get real wide on those edge rushes, Tyler. Hutchinson will get outside, but he has good pad level where he actually makes it difficult for the quarterback to step up right in the pocket. Well, they're going to have guys like Green and Ross in the middle waiting to step up, or Daxton Hill coming in on they've done all year. There's going to have to be someone, because I don't think that they can just sack Martinez by rushing on the edge. They're going to have someone step up, and the middle of that defensive line is going to have to play really, really well also. And the other thing is they have really found some things. I know it's Northwestern, but they were really able to hit the run up the middle, which is something they had not been very good at. And they did a great job last week, and Scott Frost mentioned that. So if they're able to hit a couple runs up the middle, this could be a very difficult game for that defense, because now that allows Martinez to fake and then get out and run their option pitches, which they just killed Northwestern on. So Scott Frost made a really good point. If we're able to hit runs up the middle, we're very dangerous. And I think that is absolutely true.
Yeah, and I mean, if anyone can hit runs up the middle, but when you have a mobile quarterback who, if anyone can hit the runs up the middle, they become much more dangerous. But if you're a, if you have a mobile quarterback, you can do the play action and then you can roll out on top of it.
Exactly. That's the worry. I mean, that's the,
From
you
QB2
know,
to
yes, no question.
pass. Yeah. Not only can you continue pass, like we said, he's got those legs too. And well, I mean, we've talked about Peyton Thorne's ability to run. Adrian Martinez, probably the only quarterback in the Big Ten better than him in regard to that. And so, yeah, it's going to be a
Sean
really
Clifford,
interesting.
let's not forget Sean Clifford. I mean, I think Sean Clifford is getting really underappreciated here. If you watch him play, he gets out a lot on the edge and has been hard to stop with his legs. So I think Peyton Thorne and Clifford, you know, even I would say, but let's not forget that. I mean, and
Yeah.
you know, it's not one of those years like Ohio State, right? They seem to
They
have like
don't have the JT Barrett, Braxton Miller, Terrell Pryor, you know, insert any other system quarterback here type deal.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, I'm excited to see this. Now, my one concern of Michigan, and we've been talking about Martinez's legs, and we're sticking on that conversation. Well, first off, let's not forget the tight ends as well, and you know, the plays that he makes to his receivers. But Martinez's legs, I want to stick on this because Don Brown had some issues with mobile quarterbacks. In fact, I don't even think it was just a Don Brown situation. I think it's a any mobile quarterback situation for Michigan State, or excuse me, for Michigan, anytime they were going against a mobile quarterback, they've pretty much struggled since what, 2007?
Oh, yeah,
And
no, yeah, for sure.
yeah, I mean, dating back to Armani Edwards, you just sit there and you call it a fluke, then you see what Dennis Dixon does. And even when Michigan State was complete trash, what they were able to do and how close they were able to keep those Michigan games when they had Drew Stanton as part of the MS Drew thing with Knights on Stanton leading both programs. By the way, Walker U coming up this year, but look, Drew, I mean, Drew Stanton doesn't get hurt one game. Michigan State probably wins with, you know, a John L. Smith team against U of M. And it's a situation where the reason why I'm so much more interested in this than normal is because now you have a Baltimore Ravens staffer on your team, and he went against a running quarterback in practice all the time. I don't know if you know this, Lamar Jackson, he can run. And so what I'm curious to see is how it changes, how they keep him contained. Obviously, he's not one of those Lamar Jackson types, and he does more with his arms than his legs. But that's why I'm so interested in this matchup.
Yeah, I think it's a problem no matter who you are. But I think for Michigan, they're a very aggressive defense all the time. I mean, you can say what you want. It's a little different with Michael McDonald, but let's just be honest. I mean, they're still rushing guys, they're still blitzing like crazy. And if those blitzes don't get home, there's no one back there. And you know, he causes a lot of issues if you don't get the sack. I mean, if you don't get in there and get two or three hats there, he can make one guy miss and he's going. And that is definitely something to look at for this game. I mean, if they're going to send guys in like Daxton Hill and he doesn't make the play, no one's back there. And you know, it's very difficult no matter who you are. But with rush edge guys like Hutchinson and Ojabo, if they can get home and really force him to have to throw under pressure, I think they'll be fine. But if he steps up in the pocket, and he gets outside and he's able to dissect the field or run, that's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. It's going to advance their drives. And it's something that it's definitely a concern. I mean, I think no matter who plays against them, it's a concern. But I do think the one thing that must be noted, I do think the secondary's played really well this year for Michigan. I think Jamon Green has continued to show his skill, had a pick last week, I believe, right? I think it was him. Yeah, I think Jamon Green did. Or was it not Daxton Hill? Was it Daxton Hill? Daxton Hill got the pick last week. Jamon Green does have a pick this year. I think he's been good. I think Hawkins has been
I
good.
I thought everybody in the country has picked off Graham Ertz at this point.
I mean, I think they've been able to be solid, though. You haven't seen a lot of huge plays where guys are getting ran by. Like Dax Hill, who's their best secondary guy, he was the one guy that got beat last week. You know, they threw it up in the end zone, and they made a nice play. And, you know, other than that, you know, they've been pretty solid. I mean, there's, of course, a few games. Western Michigan had a nice play. Jamon Green was in great coverage. Guy just made a heck of a catch. Of course, you're going to look at some of those passing plays where they just give up cushion. This is a situation where I'm cool with them giving cushion in this game. Give cushion. Let him throw 6-7 yard outs all game. Let him have to throw over the middle, tough, you know, in tough windows. As good as Adrian Martinez is, he's not great at that. Where we even seen in the Michigan State game where he had a couple throws he probably would want back. When he gets out on the edge, you have to stay home because he will run and just make him make tough throws. But I think the key, though, Tyler, is they got to get him on the ground. They got to get him on the ground a few times. Make it third and long to where even if he does run, he can't pick up first downs. If it's third and four, third and five, yeah, that's trouble. That's trouble against that Nebraska team. So two quick keys, stop the run, of course, but get him on the ground a few times and make it third and long and see if he can beat you with just his arm.
Yeah, and that's something that – I mean, like I said, it's difficult. Even when you do get home, you know, you might not have the key to unlock the door. Let's turn our attention now. Michigan State playing Rutgers. This is an interesting matchup. A lot of it due to what happened last year. Michigan State, 7 turnovers. Jaden Reed had 2 fumbles, also had 2 touchdowns. Just a really weird game, and now Greg Schiano. We've been using the keep chopping slogan, and I don't know if they're trying to use that for motivation out there in New Jersey. He goes, we've been doing that since 2006, which, whatever, coaches steal stuff. I stole my defensive philosophy or whatever from somebody. In regards to how I'm coaching defense on my basketball team. But that's the type of normal thing that happens. But I'm interested in this matchup, A, just because of what happened last year. Rutgers beat Michigan State in football, which, I mean, Michigan State up until last year was the only team to not lose to Rutgers in either football or basketball, and they ended up losing in both. What's enticing about this matchup? Give me a reason to watch it.
Well, that's a great statement, a reason to watch this game. You know, for the average
fan. I'm going to watch it, obviously. But for Joe Blow in Columbus, Ohio.
Well, no, this is – for Big Ten fans, this is a very intriguing matchup because I think this is another step for Michigan State to prove that they're near that top 10, right? I mean, they're right there at 11, and some people have them at 10, I believe. So – I think that's the intrigue. Is it's Michigan State. Like Rutgers, even though they're 3-2, they're one of those teams where I do think you have to take them serious. Obviously, you're not going to just go in there and beat them. You have to outplay them. They're pretty solid for the most part. Ohio State just kicked them right in the face, and you can't turn the ball over against Ohio State. I mean, you can't just have pick six like that. And I don't expect that to happen against Michigan State's defense because they're a little more vanilla. But at the same time, I think the intrigue is it's all about Michigan State. It's about do they keep this undefeated streak going? Do they continue to keep a very excited fan base, rightfully so, with this team? They'd be 6-0. They'd be one more game away from going into their rival game undefeated, which is super exciting.
A little bit more promising pending the result of the Rutgers game. Michael Penix, he shut down indefinitely.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Indiana, the wheels just fell off there. I mean, my goodness, what talk about a program that went from sky high to nothing so fast. And these programs like Indiana, Rutgers, the Marylands. It can just be so quick they can fall off. You
Yeah.
know, this isn't a Penn State, a Wisconsin. Like Wisconsin's having a rough year, but I have a feeling they're going to kind of turn it around and still have an okay year. And then I think the next year they'll probably be back to solid again, right in the West. But these two games are games where not only do I want Michigan State to see them win, I want to see them dominate action. And dominating doesn't mean you have to win by like four touchdowns. It's just you clearly are the better football team.
Yeah,
You
you
clearly
can
are.
win by 10 and just look so much better than somebody.
Yeah. Like Michigan in the Rutgers game, they completely dominated the first half. Second half looked horrible. Now, Michigan State's had some problems with that as well. In the second half against Nebraska, they didn't look very good. And Nebraska completely dropped the ball in that game, where that can't happen this game on the road. At Rutgers, if you don't play good in the first half and it's close, you've shown things that you have not been a great second half team fully. Miami was different. Miami, they played great in the second half. But their last two ball games, you know, second half hasn't looked that good. Now, people can say, well, Western Kentucky doesn't matter. The game was over. Sure, I'll take that. But the Nebraska game, that was an eye opener how offensively they just fell off.
Yeah.
And I want to see what Michigan State does. That's the intrigue, Tyler. What does Michigan State do? Do they play four quarters of really sound football, or is this going to be a slugfest, low-scoring game because the offense falls off? That's the intrigue for me.
Yeah, this offense has been really boom or bust. I want to see a long sustained drive. Long sustained drives. I want to see that over the course of the next couple of weeks because they've hit on all their big plays, but after that, you don't get a lot from this team. And that's the part that's concerning to me. When you get down to the red zone, you know what's going to happen. K9's going to get it. You know, he's going to make a linebacker. He's going to juke out a linebacker in the middle of a freaking dog pile. You can't really see both guys. And then he's going to walk into the end zone. Or he's going to get stuffed, and then they're going to try again. He's going to get stuffed again, and now you've pinned Peyton Thorne in a long situation, which Rutgers has a very underrated defensive line. It tore up Rocky Lombardi last year, and I think that it's really difficult to put your quarterback in those certain long situations. And when you are such a boom or bust team, which is part of the reason why I think people aren't buying Michigan State as much as Michigan, you just wait for that game where it's like, you know what, we should have won this, but we didn't execute. And that's what I think people are looking at this Rutgers game like. That's what people have been looking at, even Western Kentucky like. And so that's a big concern. Fedril, we said he can't really move like Martinez. We said that earlier. Particularly, I think we can slow down the run game. Michigan State does a good job disguising stuff. Even without Beasley, they're still an elite pass rush team. Still have Barrow and Slade up the middle who they don't get into the backfield a ton, but those two guys hold the line and move the line enough to where if Ponishuk's coming around the edge, the quarterback doesn't have any room to step up.
Yeah, I think two things with this game that if you're Michigan State, this is what has to happen. Number one, I don't think Rutgers is scary enough on offense. I think you got to contain them. No touchdowns, only field goals if they get anything. Hold them down.
Which
Michigan.
Michigan State's been really good in the red zone
Oh, yeah,
defensively.
they've been fantastic. I mean, they've been great in the red zone, and then they've been not the best in the red zone on offense at times, right? I don't know if we. Do we really have an answer to that? I think we will have more answers this weekend after. Does Michigan State come down and punch it in? You know, I think that's something to look at. But the last thing I want us to know, you know, Michigan State really, really struggled against Nebraska when they weren't able to hit the big play, right?
Right.
And their
Boom.
offense went, it went blank. Now, this first half is crucial because look, they don't have one of their guys that's been starting all year. He won't be in there. So, will that provide a little bit of an advantage for Rutgers? I don't know. I mean, it could. I mean, it could be where they could maybe run the ball better, Halliday has been really good in run stop stuff. I mean, he's just been there. He's been fast. He's played aggressive. He's been a major surprise for Michigan State. Every time you lose a
Surprise
guy,
sideline to sideline.
yeah, I mean, he's been fast. He's been good. So I think if this game is like really close in the first half, look out. We're going to have a battle. I think Michigan State needs to come out, do what they've done, be aggressive as heck on offense. But also, though, I one little bonus thing. Turnovers was killer last year. Peyton Thorne, as great as he has been, I feel like there's a few decisions he's made that could be costly. You know, he had the pick against it was Nebraska, right? Right over the middle, he just
turnover.
Two guys back there, like, what are you doing? I know the big play's there, but it wasn't that time. Is he able to just?
It was there. It was just to the outside. Mosley was running the same route, and he had a step.
Look, I'm just saying things happen. Sometimes things don't go your way. And last week he had a couple throws. I was like, ugh. Like, you know, I mean, we had this argument about JJ. That throw wouldn't work against anyone else. Well, there's a couple throws Thornton had, too, that we could question as well. I'm just saying turnovers was a problem last year. This team has not had to deal with that yet this year. There's going to be a game for both schools where something happens. It's just, and it's inevitable. You know, Michigan State might fumble the ball. Michigan might fumble the ball. Cade McNamara might throw a pick six. I mean, it just – every year we watch this, Tyler, something happens. You know, Nebraska and Michigan State a couple years, you know, when the 15, right? Just a couple weird things happen, and they weren't able to overcome them. I think this is a game where look for that. Does Michigan State play clean the whole game? That's a bonus thing to look at because last year, 7 turnovers. I mean, that was a lot.
Yeah, and Reed had 2 of them. I mean, obviously, he's a slightly more pivotal part of the game plan.
Number one. We talked about it. He's been great.
Leads the nation in all-purpose yards. Let's get to the picks. Michigan is favored by 3.5 against Nebraska.
I'm going over that. I mean, I think – I'm going to be in a little bit of different attitude than I was last week. A little more confidence, I guess, what I'm seeing. You know, I think this is one where you can go against that. I do think Michigan will handle business and win by a touchdown or more. I'm going to give you my score as well, like I always do. I think Michigan wins 31-20. I just think they're a little more sound than Nebraska. Special teams still does matter. Are those special teams issues fixed in Nebraska? I mean, it's only 2 weeks removed from some of the worst special teams play we've seen in a while. So I'm curious to see how they punt. How do they cover stuff? I think that's where Michigan will get better field position, and they win by a 31-20 score, Tyler.
Yeah, that's definitely a big thing is the special teams because Pristup was terrible at Michigan State, and I'm shocked he got another opportunity. I mean, no disrespect to the kid, but he was awful at MSU. And so when I heard I forgot he went to Nebraska. When I heard his name last year, I started grinning from ear to ear. And, you know, he just, boom, 7-yard punt. I'm going to take Nebraska in this. I don't think they win, but Michigan's averaging, 2.5, 3 yards a rush in Big Ten play. Going against Big Ten teams, and you saw what Nebraska did to Kenneth Walker. Adam Rittenberg published a stat the other day that in 3rd and 5, 2nd and 7, or longer for both of those situations, Michigan's only 22% conversion rate. The throwing still is a little bit of an issue in that aspect. I think
quarterback, it might be a different story.
Yeah. But
sorry, that is back.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, given that Nebraska is going to be able to, you know, force those situations because they stopped Kenneth Walker, and, you know, they might not be able to because Corum's a different type of guy. He's more of a get in space type. Haskins is a different type of guy. He can, you know, he can move a pile more than Walker can. So, I mean, maybe that helps Michigan. But given what I've seen, I don't think that that's the case. I still think they win the game. I think they win it 24-21. I just think Nebraska covers. And given the fact it's a night game in Nebraska, I think that's a safe bet to make if you were going to put money on it. Personally, I'm not, because I still think Michigan's good enough to blow them out of the water too.
Right.
Michigan State is favored. This line was really weird. It started at like 5.5, then it jumped down to 3.5. It's back to 5.5 in favor of Michigan State.
Same story for me. I'm going against that. I think they're much better than Rutgers overall than just that five. I really do. I think it's the same story as the other game. I think Michigan State is just more talented. They're able to get their playmakers the ball more than Rutgers does. Like Aaron Cruickshank, have we heard about him? I mean, he's been around forever, but it doesn't seem like we talk about him much. I mean, this guy is a burner and just isn't utilized. Pacheco can be a burner at times. Doesn't seem to be utilized. Bo Melton, I think he got hurt last week. We'll have to check on that. I think he's still playing. But, no, I just don't – I don't think that teams like Rutgers, even Nebraska, are able – like, Nebraska is better than Rutgers. They are. They're a better team. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they utilize their guys the way Michigan State does. I mean, I think Michigan State proved that they will get their studs the football. And I think they do that just enough and more against Rutgers. And I actually have them winning by 2 scores. I think they put this one away. Not early, though. I think this will be a good thing for Sparty fans to say, wow, we were close first half, and then we did what we did to Miami. We just wore them down, and we kept chopping like we talk about. And I got them winning 28-14. I think it's going to be a really, like, ugly game at first, Tyler. I really do. Something that's like 7-7 after halftime. And I think Michigan State finally gets loose and takes over.
I can see the game trend sliding in that direction, definitely. I've got Michigan State in this, maybe 27-17. The Cal Halliday bullcrap suspension hurts, obviously. Nova Harvey's played like 80 some odd. No, Ben Van Sumeren's played 80 some odd snaps. Crouch and Halliday have both played over 300. Those are obviously the two guys at linebacker, despite the constant rotations that we see, just because we've seen a number of guys play that role. And obviously, Chase Klein was going to be next up in line. And he's
Can I pat myself on the back real quick? Just real quick. You know, I want to say two words, and I know you're going to love this, Tyler. Trey Mosley, because I've been talking about him for 3 years now. And one thing that this is another side note for Michigan State fans to get very excited about. Me and Tyler have pumped up this wide receiver group like nobody's business. We've talked about it left and right preseason, last season, that we love the wide receiver core. Jalen Naylor's playing really good football right now. We know what Jaden Reed's going to do. We already have seen it. I mean, he's the all-purpose leader right now in the country. We know when the ball's in his hands, he can make plays. But Jalen Naylor and Trey Mosley have been absolutely fantastic this year overall. There might be a couple drops that Naylor's had, but really he's been unbelievable, and he gets a ton of space. So two quick things on this side note. The wide receiver play is amazing right now for Michigan State. It has been really good. Will the offensive line continue to get better? Because if they can keep Peyton Thorne upright, he has been incredibly accurate. And those wide receivers have proven, Tyler, oh, if you give us time, we'll get open. We will get open fast, too. And when we catch it, we'll get you first downs and or touchdowns. So that's a concern for me in a couple of weeks, because Trey Mosley is a great third option. And, oh, by the way, Connor Hayward is pretty much your tight end out there making great plays out of the backfield or near the line. They got guys that can catch and score. I think they need to throw to Hayward more. That's the last thing I want to say. They need to throw to Hayward more in the end zone. Like, get him loose, short yardage stuff, or get him over the middle, right? Because, Tyler, who's the other tight end, really? I mean, he's really been the only guy.
Tyler Hunt.
You know, he's made a couple plays, right? I mean, you know, has he been outstanding? I mean, I guess that's a question. I guess my question would be for you is this. Does the tight end play, like, does it matter, or is it just Hayward? Hey, just give Hayward the ball.
With the receivers and the running back, I mean, it doesn't matter as much as you normally do, especially given the system that Michigan State runs. You're not in the, the power set, the pro sets anymore,
Yeah.
like you were with D'Antonio. And so I don't think it matters as much. Now, getting back to my prediction, I think, look, I said Vedrill was like a poor man's Peyton Thorne. He doesn't have the receivers around him. He doesn't have the running back, though Pacheco is really good. I still think Michigan State's able to win. Bryce Behringer's second in the nation in punting, and his punts are weird. And what I
He's
mean
got
by that is it's not all through the air. No,
no.
he avoids the punt returner. They're not the longest punts, but he gets good rolls on them. Like, for whatever reason, I don't remember the last time I've seen someone catch a Bryce Behringer punt. And it's not because
He's
he,
big,
oh,
yeah.
what?
He punts Tyler. When he punts it, it's like you don't know where it's going sometimes. Like, I like that with him, where it's very hard to read his punts. I've seen guys catch his punts, run left, and then have to spin around to try to catch it, or they don't catch it. You know, it
Yeah.
has been impressive to that. Special teams is something we don't talk about enough, and it's so important. And both Michigan and State Michigan are so good on special teams. You know, they
Yeah.
really are.
Yeah. And Behringer, like I said, he doesn't boom it. What's his average? Like 51 and a half or something like that. He doesn't put it 51 yards in the air. He puts it like 42 yards in the air off to the side, and it just rolls to the middle of the field. Like, and so I think that's going to hinder.
Hey, before I let you know, you can add this on our topic. There's a big rumor right now that Roman Wilson, I told you earlier, has broke his wrist. I have not heard any more reports. It might be just fan speak stuff.
Which
But
would
typically,
kill.
when you hear this stuff, though, I'll be honest, on the Michigan end especially, they're very like, here you go. And it usually is true. And what I'm hearing from and what I'm reading, Roman Wilson got hurt this week in practice. So, ugh. That's a huge loss if it's true, and I'm hearing a broken wrist now. So
Yeah,
that's
that's going to
so
hinder a
helpful.
passing game that, like I said, when I pointed out that stat, Michigan's only 22% on second and seven or longer, or third and five or and longer, losing your number one receiver.
Yeah.
That's brutal. But yeah, and I mean, since we're just bouncing all over the place, Ajabu won co-defense player of the week. And so the streak is still alive. Jaden Reed was not special teams player of the week like you and I thought earlier. But yeah, so the streak is still alive. Someone from the state of Michigan's been represented on the player of the week award every single week. But yeah, I just think the combination of things, Michigan State's just better now. They have
Yeah.
to hold on to the ball, obviously, unlike what happened last year. I think they end up winning this. But yeah,
I'm with you. We're on
27.
the same page this week.
17 or 17 is kind of what I got. Yeah, I mean, I'm still taking Nebraska with the points, but like I said, Michigan can blow them out, and ultimately that's a game I'm not touching. But given the fact that it's something that we've been doing, I got to give you my prediction. I think Nebraska can keep it within three.
If Michigan wins this week, they will be undefeated going into the state game. I'll
Yeah.
bet on that. I will bet on
Oh, absolutely.
Northwestern in 2 weeks. Oh my gosh. I mean, talk about a program that, I mean, you hit that. That's the nail on the head, buddy, because I did not see this one coming. I just
Fuck,
thought,
they would suck. They don't have a quarterback, and that's a problem. Their
yeah, they
defense
don't.
is okay, but when you're out on the field for as long as they are, it's just trouble. And
56 points. Whoo,
yeah,
I mean,
Peyton Ramsey was really underrated too.
yes, he
Yeah.
was. You're right.
I mean, he was underrated at Indiana, obviously, got benched. But yeah, that does it for us here on the Trouble with the Snap podcast. We will be back next week. Actually, you know what? Let's try one more this week.
Oh,
Because
yeah, should we talk basketball? Yeah, you know, I loved arguing
that's
with
what I'm
you
saying.
earlier.
Basketball Media Day is come
Yeah.
on. We'll I'll text Anthony once I get off here, and we'll see
Walker
if
U, Walker U, and Jawan, and you know, it'll be all sorts of sparks flying. You know, as we get AI on, it'll be all sorts of argument on my end with him.
Oh yeah.
You know,
Can't
us
wait.
basketball guys.
So yeah, let's put that down. We'll try to do something like that on Friday. The Big Ten projections and everything else got released, so we'll talk about it then. But
Absolutely.
that does it for us here on Trouble with the Snap podcast. For Jeremy File, I'm Tyler Hayward.